You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good cause it ain't
over. Right before I die, I gotta... Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Praise the Lord, men, women, mighty men and women of valor, we thank God for you listening in to Kingdom Sounds. This is Thomas Robinson, and I have an awesome special guest in here, Pastor Ray Lyons. Of what's the name of your ministry, man?
I got Greater Faith in Christ Ministry.
Greater Faith in Christ Ministries. You know, now the last time I had him on the show, he had a brain lapse.
I knew he was gonna bring that up. Okay.
All right, but this time I guess it was my turn. I laughed at him and picked at him so much. Praise the Lord. But hallelujah. Tag somebody. Tell them we're gonna be talking about single folks that. You know, if it's the Lord's will, I just believe that we got a lot of people that believe in God to get married, to be married, even in 2023, to meet their spouses. And I just believe that there has to be a preparation for all things. You know, you just don't wake up one day and you say, I'm going to go get a job to be a computer scientist, but there has to be a preparation. You got to gather some knowledge. You got to get some understanding. Praise the Lord. And I think sometimes we do that when it comes down to marriage. We jump up and get married. Oh, glory to God. And you know, I might as well say this. Marriage is not an experience, okay? It's not an experiment. That's what Amen. I meant to say. It's not an experiment. You don't have to do a lot of experimenting in marriage. Come on, you can... get married without all, you know, when a company puts out a product, come on, they've done a whole lot of experimenting testing. With the product,
Amen.
Testing with the product to see if the product it does what it say. When the company's not just going to put a product out there and the product doesn't do what it says it's going to do. Help me, Spirit of the Lord God. But let me show you something now. So marriage is don't have to be an experiment. Come Amen. On, marriage, you know, marriage can be a great thing. You don't have to do a whole lot of experimenting in marriage if you do the experimenting up front. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I'm speaking to some single people that want to get married, but you haven't gotten knowledge. A lot of times, you know, it's like, God, I'm waiting on you, and God is waiting on you. Come on. You know, God is waiting on you to get some knowledge. So that when you get into the marriage, you don't mess it all up. You don't blow it all up, you know. And so anyways, praise God. I was just giving my brother a moment to get settled down and just walked in. I know this time he is definitely going to remember. I ain't even going to throw him under the bus. I think the last time, what did I do? I asked you, what was your wife? We ain't even going there.
He brought up my wife.
We ain't even going there. So anyways. Praise the Lord. Introduce yourself, man of God. Tell us who you are.
I am Pastor Raymond Edward Lyons III of Greater Faith in Christ Ministries in Cocoa, Florida. And I want to give a shout out to my beautiful wife, Prophetess LaShonda Lyons.
All right. Praise the Lord. You remember this time or not?
I want to stay married, brother.
Amen. And also to my beautiful wife of 33 plus years. Your wife from Louisiana too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's something about, you know, I guess we like them that Cajun, you know, yes. That spicy, you know, that
fire.
And fiery. Yeah, yeah, that's what we call it, you know. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you ready to go, man of God?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Yes, all right. Have your way, Spirit of the Lord God. We just give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's make it
Amen.
Work.
Amen. So our subject for today, as you shared with me, you want to speak with singles desiring to be married. And first and foremost, as you said, marriage is not an experiment, Pastor Tom. Mm-hmm. Marriage, whether we know it or not, it is a lifelong choice. and I say that to say you don't take a lifelong decision lightly.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and let's be honest, and I'm sure you've seen this, we have couples that are more infatuated with the idea of marriage than they are with the institution of marriage.
Wow.
Some are more focused on having a nice, beautiful wedding and having all the family there with the perks and bills, not understanding that although this is the beginning of something beautiful, it's going to take a lot of work. We've heard before, as the old folks say, marriage is a journey.
Mm.
And you have to understand that if you're in the middle of a journey, you just don't quit because it gets a little rocky gets a little uncomfortable. So to any single man or single woman that is seeking to be married, you should first seek the one who ordained the institution of marriage.
That's right.
To get his idea of marriage.
Hmm.
And so if we did, because I've even said in my marriage, we were both saved. We both love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than just being saved and love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to understand that the Bible says, in Ephesians says, submit yourselves one to another.
Mm-hmm.
In that, we have to understand that when you submit yourself one to another, then you can't always have your way. The things that you used to do, everything that you did for yourself that you didn't have to answer to anyone, that changes.
That's right.
And I say that to say, I want to share scripture. And let me share this with you. Singleness, according to God, singleness should be enjoyed and appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
God requires us to love ourselves. Why do you say that? Because scripture tells us, even the disciple says, Lord, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, and thy soul. And say the second one is just as important as the first. He says, love thy neighbor as thyself.
Oh, wow.
That's you have good. To love you.
That's good. And that, you know, a lot of times that void is not filled.
Absolutely.
People don't love themselves. And this is why I think sometimes people are insecure and they allow people to run over them because they don't love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Because he says, Psalms, I wrote my scripture down, Psalms 139:14.
Mm-hmm.
I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Hmm.
This is the man of God. And this is for us too. 1 Peter 2:9, you are of a chosen people, a royal priesthood.
Hmm.
And so God has a purpose and plan for all of us. And he said in the beginning, it is not good that man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And let me share something with you. You may be desiring to be married, but there's a difference between being by yourself and being alone.
Mm.
Just because you're alone, that doesn't make you lonely. And if we go back to Genesis, we know that he said that pertaining to Adam. He says, it is not good that man should be alone. But he never said that man should be lonely. Okay. Adam was alone, but Adam wasn't lonely. Why? Because Adam was going about his business as God had ordained him to go about his business. He had a job. He kept himself busy. He tended to the garden. He kept and guarded the garden. And then in turn, he had to deal with the animals also.
Hmm.
And so if God says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, then if you believe God, then you won't settle for anything.
You know, you said something powerful. You went to Genesis that it is not good for man to be alone. And God says something also. Genesis and then 2:18 in the ESV version, it says that then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Says, says, I will make him a helper fit for him. I will make him a helper fit. You know, when you have a helper, anyone that is sent to help you, you should be going forward and not backwards. How many times do you see people that supposedly having helper, and I'm talking man or woman, mm-hmm. but it seemed like since when they got the help, they started going backwards instead of forwards. But he says a helper fit, and everybody's not fit
Amen.
For us. Everybody, sometimes a person can't yoke up with us. You know, Absolutely. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. In other words, you wouldn't put an oxen and a donkey on the same yoke
Absolutely.
Because you'd kill the donkey. He can't keep up with the
right.
ox. And that's the problem a lot of times in marriage. We look at this verse of scripture, and that second half is just as important as it is that first half, that the help. You know, I thank God, and I know you thank God that our spouses, they are to help us.
Amen.
You know, even so, one day I was listening to two women talking, and I'm just being nosy listening to their conversation. Both of them got men that wasn't working. Come on, they both had children, and I was like, how do you put yourself in a situation like this? You know, praise God. Well, you're supporting the children and the men. You know, and so help is just that. It's the help. Make sure they're the right fit. Go ahead, man. God, I just want to throw that in.
And you know, it's awesome that you said that. Now, things may happen, and it may happen for a reason or even for a season.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way that the woman should have to take care of the man and the children mm-hmm. if he's an able-bodied man.
If he's a man.
If he's on disability,
right.
You know, if he's has some kind of medical,
right, exactly.
What we'll say, finances coming in, you know, that's contributing, but there's no way that I believe that the burden should be 100%, you know, if they're just not working,
right.
You know, what exactly are they doing? If
right.
they're not working, or they're sometimes the roles are reversed.
Yeah.
Is he taking care of the home?
Right.
Is he taking care of the issues? If kids have issues in school or outside of school, or are they calling mom at work? You know, what is he doing? That should not be the case. Like you said, according to the word, helper, help me, suitable and adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something that was kind of key, that when the help comes, that doesn't mean you slack off.
Mm-hmm.
Because your individuality, it disappears
mm-hmm.
to a degree within a relationship,
right.
but it's not erased.
Right.
What makes us unique, what makes you unique, what makes your wife unique, you both still have that.
Mm-hmm.
But they say marriage is 50-50. Nope. Your marriage, you bring in 100%. Your spouse brings in 100%.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where the issue is. If we start doing 50-50, that means we both slacking off in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, we have some what? We have some issues that will arise. You don't stop going 1,000 miles an hour just because you got married. Guess what? You all get together, and whatever her pace is and whatever your pace is,
mm-hmm.
you all get together and run at the same pace. But that doesn't mean you slack off and quit. You may have to slow down a little bit to help bring her up to speed, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But you still give it your all.
Right.
Because God has made us. Even according to this, it says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God has given each of us an individuality that makes us unique.
Mm-hmm.
But we bring that into the marriage to help the marriage go to the next level.
Right.
You know, it's like a booster here, a booster here, even on our space shuttles. And so as we put our boosters together, guess what? We should go farther.
Right, right.
And so that's where we are.
Go ahead, man.
Problems will arise.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
And so this is why it's so important if you are single and desiring to be married. I would encourage you now to begin to get books on marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not just books on the happily ever after. You want books on how God saved my marriage,
right.
how God restored my marriage. Not saying that they'll have issues,
right.
but just in case, you'll be prepared. Get good godly books.
That's
and
good.
First and foremost, I would say, get into the word and even begin to read Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom. You know,
right.
we love Proverbs.
Right.
And I don't know if you all know, but Proverbs tells you what kind of woman to marry, what kind
That's
to stay
right.
away from, what kind of man, absolutely, what kind of man to get involved in, what kind of man to stay from. It talks about the slothful man, when your hands are slothful. The word of God has every answer to every issue we have in the earth realm. And I just don't see how, and Pastor, help, maybe you can help help it make sense to me that how can we say that we want to get involved in the institution of marriage but not involve God?
That's right. You know, I was sitting here thinking when you were saying that, you know, man of God, that, you know, a lot of times, I'll just say this here. When Joseph, the Bible says when Mary was found, she was found with child. That's a good way of saying she was found with the word of God. Come on. Jesus was that child. He's the word. He's the bread of life. So when she was found, she was found with something. I want to say also that, you know, a lot of times when we, you know, we want to be the king, especially us men, we want to be the kings of our homes when we get married. We want to be the leaders. Well, you know, one of the things that was required in the Old Testament with the kings in the Old Testament is that they had to learn the entire Old Testament, which I believe consisted about five books at that time. So they had to know the word of God. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, we marrying people. I've been preaching now for 33 plus years.
Amen.
I don't have a long track record of marrying people. I've probably married about three people. I think everybody that I've married is still married. Why? Amen. Because I'm not marrying everybody. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, before I marry anybody, as a matter of fact, I made it my business, you know, and I haven't married nobody, like I said, in a while, but people, I want people to know this verse. I want them to know it from the front to the back, 4 and 7. Love is patience. Love is and kind. Love does not envy. Come on. And because once you know this, come on, and you know it, you can come into the marriage counseling session and you can quote it to the front, to the back. Guess what? I know you've been meditating on it. I know that, guess what? When you go to have your big argument, guess what? You'll be thinking about this verse of scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Something you were talking about a little bit. Is not irritable. It won't let me sit there and just keep irritating you or resentful. I won't be sitting around resenting that I married you. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. I won't be trying to get you back. Come on. Rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. And so guess what? If you ask me to marry you, guess what? You're going to have to know. You're going to have to. Okay, all right. I won't even go there. But I'll just say that you want to be the king of your home? Learn this verse of scripture right
now. Absolutely.
Go ahead, man of God.
Absolutely. And when it comes to being the king of your home, you have to understand that we have a king. And many folk think that kings rule and they run the thing. And yes, they do. But kings, our king has a soft spot and a soft heart.
That's right.
Our king, it's not going to be an argument with our king.
That's right.
His yes means yes. His no means no. And so we have to get to a point to where we're following the right model. Because let's be honest, many of us in the African-American community, we've not always had both parents in the home. And if we've had both parents, in many cases, we haven't seen a godly marriage model. That's now, I'm not saying this for everybody, but there's quite a few. Because some of us have great parents, some of us have seen godly marriages, but a lot of us haven't.
That's right.
And so I understand from the old days, there are a lot of times that, and I know because I ask questions, I talk to family members, I love ones, I do a lot of counseling. There are a lot of times that, and let me help somebody on today, that mama and papa was going through. Papa might have stepped out on his marriage, but it wasn't, none of the kids knew about it. Five or six kids in the home, they probably wonder why Papa had to go sleep on the couch. It wasn't their business. But I've learned through talking and that Mama made a decision. It's not my mom per se, but Mama, the mothers made a decision that he done messed up, but this man need to be in his home. These children need to see this man in his home. Okay, because he's an authority figure. I may have him sleep on the couch for the next couple of months, but I'm not putting him out this house.
Well, you're saying something. You're saying something. Because it used to be a time that when we met a person, praise God, it wasn't it was shortly after that that they were meeting our parents.
Absolutely.
Because our parents had life, had information, had mm-hmm. understanding, had wisdom because of life. And nowadays, it's amazing because sometimes people can date folks for years before they introduce them to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You're more concerned about introducing them to places on your body than you are concerned about.
You're preaching right now.
Than you concerned about introducing them to your parents. Come on. And if you don't have a parent and you got a pastor, come on, introduce them to your pastor.
Yes,
I've told people before, you know, now the Lord, by the Lord, the Spirit of God, that's not your spouse.
Absolutely.
You know, and sometimes folks go other places and get married. Come on. But you look and it's like, okay, all right, I told him when you see it go south or when it's over with. I'll just say when it's over with.
Absolutely.
I told him it wasn't their spouse. Yes, we brought them to our parents because we don't think that our parents have wisdom. Mm-hmm. We don't think that our parents have seen this and done that.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they used to say, they would ask the questions that we wouldn't ask because
absolutely.
We were so crazy in love that, you know, because I remember.
Not what we saw.
Yeah. I remember the first date I went on. I had to go and meet the parents. And he was like, well, who's your parents? Who's your dad? And they're going to ask the question because Goo Goo Gaga love has us all just focus
absolutely.
On the person and the outside and their appearance. Come on. And we don't look on the inside. We're not concerned about what's on the inside of that person. Go ahead.
You know, it's so powerful because that's old school. I remember my mama and my grandmother, and God rest her soul, my grandmother, my mother is still alive and well. But they would say, well, who is that? And my grandmama, she said, who they people? That's how she talked. And then she would say, son, stay away from them. Them folk ain't no good. But guess what? We as parents in this day and age, we don't ask that anymore, just like you said. And so as a result, our children at 10, 11, and 12 years old have their emotions all over the place because they're trying to date. As the old folks say, they're trying to court somebody. They're trying to get involved with young ladies or young men. And they haven't gotten the training that they need from us as parents.
It's our fault. A lot of it is our fault, praise the Lord. We got to bring it in. But I want you to tell the people, you know, you and your wife are principals and owners of a school, Pillar of Hope.
Yes.
Academy, right?
Yes.
And there may be a parent out there. You may, they're great. I visit the school every once in a while. They're great with troubled children. Praise God. And it's a Christian based school. Praise the Lord. And I've seen that they pray and they do all this great and awesome stuff. Tell us a little bit about the school and then how to get in touch with you right quick.
Okay. We have a school located downtown, one school, two campuses. It's called the Pillar of Hope Christian Academy. We're located at 200 Forest Avenue in Cocoa, Florida. And we are a kindergarten through 12th grade school. We currently have basketball. We're starting up a track team and flag football team. As far as extracurricular activities, we also have a cheerleading squad and a dance squad that is growing as we speak. And we're located right downtown. And I deal with, we're anointed to deal with all kids. But if your child is struggling, needs smaller classroom, more attention, please reach out to us. We can be reached at 321-636-5591.
And you do offer a bus service, right?
Yes.
And email address.
We have bus service, van and bus transportation in the local area. I have children coming from as far away as Mims, Florida. You can reach us at thepillarofhope.com. www.thepillarofhope.com. You can go to our website and you can reach us through there.
All right. Praise the Lord. Is that it? All right.
Yes.
And so we thank God for them. They're also pastors. Let's see. Now, I want to remind you of the marriage conference that's coming up. It's going to be at 250 North Babcock at Victory International Praise, and that's going to be March the 16th and March the 17th. I'm going to be dealing with topics like married but living like you're single. Praise. I can't wait to deal with that one. Married but living like you're single. Praise God. This is why we got to get some knowledge and information. But anyways, let's see. You can. This broadcast has been a blessing to you. You can reach me at tomrob7662@gmail.com. That's tomrob, T-O-M-R-O-B, 7662@gmail.com. Once again, the church is located at 250 North Babcock. We start Sunday morning service at 11 a.m., 250 North Babcock. All right, that's Melbourne, Florida, by the way. All right, thank God for Danny here at the radio station, WWBC. Thank God for the great job that he's doing. We will see you next week. God bless you. We'll see you Tuesday. God bless you. Have a blessed
good evening, and thank you for listening to our broadcast. I want to take a moment and invite you to our marriage conference, March the 16th and 17th. The location is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock. That's Victory International Praise Church, 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida. The Bible says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And a lot of times marriages are going through some things because we do lack knowledge. The Bible says to dwell with your spouse according to knowledge. And so we want to give you some knowledge and even some wisdom. And so once again, the address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. We will be starting at 7 p.m. I pray that God will stir the hearts of even the spouses that you don't even believe would be willing to come, that God would stir their hearts to come and to be there. All right, God bless you. We love you.
Welcome to another edition of Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question. Comes from the tiny book of Jude, where the author quotes from an ancient book called 1 Enoch. Now, John, obviously 1 Enoch isn't part of the Old or New Testament, so why does Jude refer to it? Should that book maybe have been included in the Bible?
The book of Enoch is a book that had been in Jewish libraries for a very long time. The people knew about it. There were things in it that people were familiar with. And in this case, the Holy Spirit, who inspired Jude but did not inspire the book of Enoch, simply borrowed a statement in that book that was in fact true. This is something that's not unknown in Scripture. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing the book of Titus, refers to statements made by Cretan poets because they fit a purpose in the writing of his letter to Titus. So the fact that the book of Enoch existed is history, and the fact that there was a statement in it that was accurate regarding Enoch and his ministry of prophesying about judgment simply gave the Holy Spirit an opportunity from a familiar source to borrow something to make the point in the book of Jude. This is one of the realities of Scripture. It is so honest. It is so truthful. There's a certain naturalness in that. Borrowing from familiar literature to emphasize a point and borrowing something that was actually true. The Scripture is always true, and when it quotes sources outside of itself, they will be true representations.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you have a question for John, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Oh,